Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, and I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between, including jokes. And we have some jokes for you today. Well, I guess we should probably introduce the topic before getting to the jokes.
Well, I'll introduce it. If there's one thing I'm better at than anyone else, it's humility. That was a joke.
They can't see your face on a podcast. Well, yeah, and I would say I'm good at most things except humility because I am great at humility.
Okay. Yeah, or you want to write a book on humility? I'm sure it'll be a bestseller, right? There you go. Yeah.
Why are people in the graves super duper humble? Because they're super down to earth.
Super down to earth. That's really a humbly morbid.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Yeah. Well, humility. See, we make jokes about humility all the time. I mean, it really is one of those things that to possess humility is something that you don't talk about or brag about or share with others.
Right. You don't advertise.
Yeah. I mean, of all the people I know, I'm the most humble, right? I mean, this, I'm just being honest. Not bragging, just true, right?
Right.
Yeah. See, this is, I mean... You know, humility. So what's the opposite of humility?
Pride.
Pride. I'm sure no one has an issue with pride.
No. No, maybe other people do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so humble. I don't have an issue with pride.
That's right.
Yeah.
That song that Ty and I would sing as kids, I'm more humble than you are.
There you go. Yeah.
Humility. Humility. Pride.
Yeah. Well, so it's something that we all struggle with. Mm-hmm. And we're all tempted with, no matter how much God works in our heart, the sinful heart seems to always bubble up this sinful posture of pride. And so today we just want to talk about humility and pride and some of the things that Proverbs has to say about that, as well as other parts of the Bible. So, yeah,
sweet. We have, well, let's dive in. All right, Puma. So we got the jokes out of the way. Like every good pastor has to have some type of joke, at least in my church. They tell a lot of jokes before the sermon. But yeah, let's talk about humility and pride and what Proverbs has to say about this topic. It comes up all over in Proverbs.
It's all over the place. And, you know, just a little, if just a little review why, you know, pride and humility is such a big deal. As we started way back in our series of Proverbs, and you know, kind of jumping back into that a little bit here today, that Proverbs talks about two paths that people are on. One path is going in the direction of foolishness or wickedness. The other path in the direction of wisdom or righteousness. And everybody is on one of those two paths, or maybe stated differently, everyone is going one of two directions. Really, every day, every moment, we're actually pointed in one of those two directions. Right. And those directions, it's not just a path of life, but they're directions toward God or away from God. So someone that desires to walk in wisdom is someone that desires to get to know God, get to know the heart of God, desires God. And we had talked about some of these concepts in Proverbs, like knowledge, for instance. One of the primary pictures of knowledge or descriptions of knowledge in Proverbs is knowledge of God, who he is, what he is about. So someone who wants to walk the path of wisdom, who's seeking knowledge or understanding, you're really seeking after God. And this is why Proverbs 9:10, for instance, says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so when we're talking about humility and pride, it really is, do I want to go in the direction toward God? And humility is part of walking that direction. Or am I walking away from God toward maybe exalting self? And that's where pride comes in. And so this is just another one of those big categories that Proverbs talks about that really is a part of everyone's life in one way or the other.
Yeah, well, you know, there are some key verses like you mentioned briefly. You want to go over some of the key verses in Proverbs that really speaks to this idea of humility and pride?
Yeah, some of them. I mean, you know, one is Proverbs 11:2. It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. We know that pride puffs up. You know, it says, And in chapter 18:12, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. You know, Proverbs 21:24, the proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. You know, he is just full of pride. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. And so the pride is sort of one of those heart attitudes that just impacts everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's hard to separate our own emotional state outside of what we do. You know, if I have an idea of who I am, my identity is wrapped up in that. So yeah, if I think that I'm great, even if I'm not great, whether I'm driving in traffic, whether I, you know, order something at McDonald's, if I think that I'm worthy of some said, I don't know, honor, then that really does affect everything I do and it affects the way I treat other people. If I think I am above them, then I clearly will treat them lesser. But I think it goes the other way too. I think if I feel like I'm just some terrible person and everybody, you know, can control me, I have no boundaries, I can't say no, then I become the savior complex. If they need me, I have to obey them because my self-worth is so low. I think pride has lots of facets to it.
It does. So let's define a couple terms.
Yeah. So that's always good.
Yeah. So like humility. What is humility?
I would say humility, biblical humility, is seeing yourself the way God sees you. I would say in a practical worldly sense, humility is thinking less of yourself and more of others. It is a posture of a servant, not so much as a ruler.
Okay. Yeah. So when you say seeing yourself as God sees you, like what specific do you might have in mind there?
Yeah. So I think growing up, I did not see myself the way God saw me. I saw myself the way other people saw me. So my value came from how people viewed Tori. You know, I think when it comes to looking at ourselves the way God sees us, all of a sudden the standard of worth and value is in the eyes of God. And so if God sees me as a sinful wretch who loved and died for that wretch, even though I'm not perfect, I still sin, I have been incredibly loved and forgiven. So the worth I have, because again, you have to humbly accept the fact that I'm a wretch and that I'm saved. But when God, the way God sees us is reality. My identity is in reality and God sees us in truth. So yeah, I guess I would say a humble person sees themselves and sees other people too, the way God sees them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you use the word identity, which I think is really one of those crucial or foundational words or topics, and our whole culture revolves around identity. Everyone's trying to create their own identity, their own image right. themselves all the time. So we're trying to exalt self, and we're trying to be, like you said, what we think other people want you to be. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes we try to be what we want ourselves to be. That we have this idea of what, you know, we look around and we say, oh, other people are getting perks, other people are getting good things because of
achievements, grades, status, medals.
Yeah, all these
you
things.
You compare yourself and you want
Wreck-It desire. Ralph, he just wants a medal. Wreck-It Ralph, he just wants that. Yeah. Just wants a medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so, but this whole idea of imaging, in Ephesians chapter 4, it begins where Paul says, you know, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. Mm. And then the next verse 2, he says, be completely humble. That's how he starts that, how to live worthy of your calling. And what's so important, like for that verse, I think kind of what you already hit on there is, you know, that verse, chapter 4, begins by referring back to chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians. And what is the calling? I mean, chapter 1, he says that we have been, you know, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He says that we have been chosen by God before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. He says that we have been adopted by God. It was His pleasure and will to do so, that we are forgiven. He says that we have been given the Holy Spirit as a seal and an inheritance and a deposit. He says that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's at work in you and I. He says in chapter 2, he says that we used to be an object of God's wrath, but because God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive, you know, with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, the end of chapter 2 there of Ephesians, he says that Jews and Gentiles both now are part of the household or the family of God, that that which separated and alienated hostility has now been brought together in peace because of what Jesus has done. You know, in chapter 3, he says, and we've been put together as the church, as this group that displays a manifold wisdom of God, and that God can do more than we can ask or imagine according to his power at work in us. All these things are true of us because of Jesus. And this is how God sees us in Christ. If you and I know Jesus Christ as Savior, then what God says about us in Christ is true. Mm. So humility is seeing what God sees in us, what God says about us, and believing that and living as if that is true. Mm. And so some people have a proud heart. You know, though Jesus died for them and rescued them, they see their salvation, they see their maybe their morality as being self-made, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a form of pride. It's not seeing yourself in light of who you are in Christ. It's seeing yourself in light of who you think you are or deserve or should be. And the opposite is true. I think you referred to the opposite. The opposite is true. We know that we're sinful. And some people, maybe a self-loathing, like, oh, God could never love me. God could never, accept me as I am. And so that's another form of pride, of self-loathing. So pride has kind of two bookends, and humility is kind of that middle category.
Interesting. So you say that, pride, like, I guess the ideal iconic pride, you think of some arrogant, boastful, look at me, I'm a, amazing hair flip kind of guy who's, whatever. We think pride as this arrogant, boastful person, but like you said, pride has another face, and that's a face of self-loathing, of doubt. You know, I'm not good enough. God can't use me. I have no gifts. I'm just awful. And it's so self-deprecating that kind of pride, it's still focused on yourself. It's actually very selfish. It looks like, you're super humble, but I think you're right. I think scripture even says that when we take our eyes off Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that's where pride begins. When we look at ourselves, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not skilled. I'm not worth.
Kind of the old Winnie the Pooh Eeyore complex. Yeah, right. It will never, God. And people think of their circumstances. Oh, you know what? I had another bad circumstance today. It just proves what I think of me, that God hates me.
Right.
That God doesn't care about me. That's not true at all. Mm. We'll talk about this maybe in future podcasts, that God is always for our good. He's always working to grow us and to mature us. Mm. He's not out there to harm us. Mm. What God thinks about us, I mean, this can even go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. That God creates everything. And then 1:26 says, then God says, let us make man in our image, that we are created in the image of God with inherent dignity, worth, and value in spite of our sin.
Yeah.
Because of how we are created and in whose image we are created. This goes to Romans chapter 8, where, Paul writes that nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us in Christ. Again, it's who are we in Christ? So humility, really the posture is really trying to see ourselves and view ourselves as God sees us. Mm-hmm. Are we sinful? Yes. In Christ, are we redeemed? Is our sin forgiven? Are we reconciled to God? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. If I am a saved person, I am a child of God who loves me and gave himself for me. That's who I am.
Yeah.
My pride, my boast is not who I am. It's who I am in Christ. Mm. It's always the boasting is Jesus in me.
Yeah.
The opposite of that, the self-loathing is, in a sense, boasting that I am too far away for God to do anything. In other words, it's saying God's not powerful enough to rescue me.
Right.
God can't fix my situation. God doesn't. Again, it's not exalting God, it's exalting self.
Right. You're focused on yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I love how you even combine the last little mini series on gratitude with humility. that when people are truly humble, when we truly focus on Jesus, because that's where humility comes from. When we focus on the reality and the truth, like you mentioned in Ephesians, that who we are in Christ, our identity comes from God alone. And there's so much gratitude in that. I think humble people are the most grateful because humble people are focused on Jesus, not themselves, not even others to that the selfish degree. They're focused on God, and through their love for God, then they translate that focus on things that God loves, which is people. But yeah, just a cool thought. Humble people are grateful people.
Yeah, the Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, so when pride is present.
Not then, if, but when.
Yeah, then comes disgrace. So think of our two bookends, right? So if I am self-exalting, eventually I will be disgraced because God promises to humble the proud.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, our world is full of examples of that. Probably everyone listening to me can hear of someone who had a kind of a proud posture, maybe a politician, a leader, maybe a friend, maybe yourself, you know, someone that you know, that just were all full of themselves,
yeah.
You know, and we really didn't define pride, but pride really, you know, it's kind of this arrogance or this overconfidence posture, especially yeah. on the if you say the positive side of pride and the negative side of pride, you know, that when you think that you are all that, you know, God will humble you and you'll be disgraced. The opposite side, if you are a self-loathing person, you kind of just bring disgrace and shame. You kind of live in that. It's like my life is about disgrace and shame.
Right.
And that's not where God desires us to live in that. Mm-hmm. You know, it says when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And so when it comes to the walking, you know, toward God or the path of righteousness or the path of wisdom, humility is one of those kind of attitudes that is a part of walking that path.
Mm.
You know, and that's what I think what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 4, to walk in a manner worthy of who we are in Christ. And
right.
He starts with the humility, be completely humble.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good. Some really good deep thoughts. What's a good application for us, Puma? I mean, we have these two faces of pride, right? We have the super arrogant and the super lowly, and lowly as in self-loathing. Clear, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We see that in scripture also. So I just, if there was like a takeaway, how do we apply this? Because I think it's kind of hard. Like, how do you apply humility? I mean, I don't know, like how do you apply your identity, right? I mean, it's kind of a big question, but is there a way to kind of break it down to help us, to help the listeners, how we can better live out this truth?
Yeah, we can try to do that. I think it's one of the best ways to how to apply anything is always to look at Jesus, right? To look at Jesus. Now, if there was anybody that was all that, right?
You're right.
It was Jesus.
it was absolutely
right?
Jesus.
I mean, if there was anybody that had... really, I mean, truthfully could say, hey, I am the Son of God. Top that, right? I mean,
yeah.
but it was true.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it was true of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his identity. I mean, that was his identity. He knew who he was. He knew what he was about. But Jesus lived in his life not to toot his own horn, but he lived his life to exalt the Father, right? Mm. He wasn't self-exalting,
right?
Pride is self-exalting, you know, humanly speaking, right? I mean, God deserves all glory, and all glory is to him. But, you know, for Jesus, he wasn't out there promoting himself, you know, billboards about himself and everything.
He wasn't advertising for fame.
No, he wasn't. He had this posture of walking humbly before the Father. And so part of that was he, you know, submitted to the Holy Spirit's leading in his life. You know, Jesus didn't want to go ahead of the Father's will for him. Jesus had an obedient heart. It said, Father, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? He let the Word of God, you know, the scriptures were in his mind. So when he's tempted in everything he did, he let God's word kind of fill his heart. In other words, his posture was, you know, humble or contrite before the Father. Even though he himself was God, he did not, you know, he did not exalt himself, but always humbled himself to be obedient to the Father. On the opposite side of that, if anybody had a life that was worthy of like wallowing in misery and self-loathing, it was also Jesus.
Yeah, he had bad circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from birth, right? I mean, his whole life, you know, he lived in a, you know, grew up in a, you know, just a humble setting, you know, poor family, you know, all, just the disgrace in that culture of being considered an illegitimate child and all of that. I mean, and then when he had his public ministry, you know, people hated him all the time. You know, I mean, the religious leaders picked up stones, tried to kill him. You know, they wanted to, and they eventually did. They eventually crucified him. He could have wallowed in those negative circumstances,
right?
But he didn't, because that his identity wasn't in the circumstances that were happening to him, and it wasn't in, you know, this exalted position of who he should be. But he just walked humbly before the Father. So from a practical standpoint, you know, what direction, you know, do you and I lean? I think everybody leans in one direction or another. We either are overconfident, maybe because we have skills and talents, and our temptation is to, you know, exalt ourselves and glory ourselves in that. Or maybe you have maybe some, you know, you got, as Paul talked about, like a thorn in the flesh, or you got some circumstances in your life that are hindering you or hampering you. And, you know, whether it be health issues or... Some people have like mental issues or maybe just relational issues that just are really horrible sometimes. Right. And so you find sort of your identity in being miserable or being in that, you know, feeling bad about yourself all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I think people do find themselves in one of those camps, like either A, I'm so skilled, God needs me, or, oh, I don't have any skills, God can't use me. And both of those are in the Christian church sense, but we all do lean either more boastful or more self-deprecating, and yet those are both pride. And so, yeah, I think identifying, you're right, a good, helpful, how do we apply this, a good AQ application question is, which camp do we fall into? Because we can't guard against what we don't know. We can't pray through and ask God to help us if we don't even see, because pride is blinding. It's part of the part of pride. You don't see you're proud usually until you fall into the hole, right? You don't usually,
right?
You don't see your arrogance until it's too late. So yeah, I think it's a great first step. Yeah, identify where you might lean. And is there a follow-up with that? So suppose someone, okay, I do that, I go home, I ask my spouse, they'll probably know which camp I lean in, or I write it down, okay, do I lean more self-loathing or more arrogant? But after they do that, what do they do with that?
Yeah, so like in Ephesians, you know, it is to listen to what God says about us. You know, so we always have to go back to God's word. And this is why it's so important to let the word of Christ dwell in us, you know, daily, you know, and to hide God's word in our heart. And to let, because you talked about this earlier, identity. Everyone has an opinion of you, including yourself.
Yeah, right? It's true.
Everyone has an opinion of me, including me. But whose opinion matters most? Whose opinion are we going to listen to and let their opinion influence us in our decisions, influence our attitude, influence our perspective? What does God think of me? I mean, what does God think of me? And the one that really blows my mind is, you know, Ephesians 1, that God chose me before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I know in my heart that I am not a holy and blameless person. So how could God desire a relationship with me before I existed, knowing that to do that, he has to view me as holy and blameless in his sight, knowing that in myself, I am sinful and not holy and blameless, knowing in the heart of God what it would cost him to view me as holy and blameless, and he considered the cost worth it. What does that say? I am worth it to him. To end up view me as holy and blameless in his sight before I even existed. That's just one concept of hundreds and hundreds of thousands in the Bible of what God thinks of me, how God views me. Why would I listen to what someone else thinks of me? Because God is good. He loves. I mean, it cost him everything to view me like that, to have a relationship with me. You see, when we grab a hold of that and let that be the lens through which we view life, I view my life, I have nothing to boast about except Jesus. And I'm not going to wallow in my sin and in my inconsistencies and my failures and my giving into temptations, because he loved me knowing all of that and still wants that relationship with me. So I don't have to wallow in that. I don't have to make that my identity. My identity is Jesus. And that's how I'm going to walk. That's why Proverbs says that with humility comes wisdom. When we have a humble posture of seeing ourselves as God sees us, that is one of the steps of living wisely in a foolish world.
Yeah, no, that's a great word. Thank you, Puma. And yeah, how blessed are we, the people of God, to be wanted when everything in our life, the sin that we do by nature and by choice to a holy God, you'd think he wouldn't want that. Mm-hmm. But he wants us. That's a good word. So yeah, to identify which camp we lean in, and it comes to our pride, and then just focus on who we are in Christ. It changes everything.
It does.
That's awesome. Well, hey guys, thank you so much for joining us. I would just appreciate you guys. If you guys found this helpful and would like to share this with a friend, we would encourage you to. We'd love to reach a bigger audience, and we'd love to connect, maybe encourage some family and friends. And if you have any questions, as always, reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We would love to connect. And guys, just thank you. You know, it's December 1st. I don't know. When I think of the beauty of Jesus, part of him coming to earth was for community. It was for relationships. It's for the family. And how blessed are we, you know, two brothers in Christ, also father and son, but with you guys, our family of God too, just to join us and to learn together. I just appreciate you guys coming alongside that Jesus came to earth so we could be the church. And that's super cool. So thank you for coming along with us. And hey, we'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10.
Bye-bye.
Bye.